Shimmy, and thank you for all of the Lili Daf HaShavua and the Maragnei Daf HaShavua from Abram and Alan Oster and Yossi Klein and the people behind the scenes that made this brought Daf HaShavua back to life. I remember when I was a little kid, by the Shabbos, my father would turn on WEBD. And the Pinchas Tais would bring in Yiddish, he would say, where are Rabbi Sai, Heint Betten Lelen, Heint Nach Betten Lelen, Dach HaShavua. The difference is probably that whoever listened, they listened that much to Shabbos, and then that was it. This Dach HaShavua, from what I understand, it's going over and going over and going over. So, even though I did not incorporate something from my Zeta, but I will share with you that I once asked him, I was in 11th grade in Philadelphia Yeshiva, and we were learning Tanakh. We were learning then the story of David and Bathsheba. Maybe I was learning on my own, I don't remember. But I had asked him, you know, maybe it's not Kedai, it's very Sugis, it would be to all types of questions. And he said, Landless, just end it in Tanakh, Achzik Moldiyif, the Salz Hashem, which means learn it. Learn when you'll finish Tanakh, this is in 1973, he said, when you'll finish the entire Tanakh 80 times, the Yehud, like I did, then you'll already understand. So the truth is that they say a quip from Rav Meir Shapiro that after he made the Daf HaYomi, he said that the mile of Daf HaYomi is instead of not knowing one disciple, this way you don't know the entire Shas. The truth is that it's different than when you horova over one daf at a time a week. It's very, very special because it's a pace that really can turn back. And at the end of the year, you did 52 vlad, v'iyun, and each on its own level, and you had a chazara. It's something that remains with you for life. And the reason that I asked Mr. Globin is this is an appeal for money? He says, no, it's an appeal to get people to learn. Not only an appeal to get people to join the program, but even to be mechazik, the people who are already in the program, because sometimes there's a rashbos as well. And I was thinking that in yesterday's lady, you find the concept of two different angles to approach something that's great. Baruch Shalom says, Lomo lo yereisim l'daber ba'avdi b'moyshe. Says, what are you speaking against? He tells Miriam and Aaron, why did you not fear to speak against my servant and Moshe? Rashi, ba'avdi apol pi she'ena Moshe, and b'moyshe apol pi she'ena ma'avdi. Why don't you fear to talk against my servant? I understand not to talk against the servant of the Rabbi Shalom. But what is Moshe without Eved Hashem? What is the mila of Moshe without the Eved Hashem? The truth is that there is a concept of Moshe Eved Hashem, and then there's the Ish Moshe. Or Ish Moshe on a boy. There's a certain mila of Moshe Rabbeinu before he became the Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu's persona, it grew. When the first time he walked out, and he said he walked by Yetzeh B'Sachecho, by Yarmah Sivloisom, and he saw a Mitzri hitting a Jewish person. He didn't have the divine revelation at that time. But he had a certain fortitude, a personal fortitude. When he was by Yinhad Tzoynachar HaMidbar, he didn't have this divine revelation. When he went to the Be'er, he didn't have the Shechina upon him, the Rabbeinu Shalom talking to him pal peh. And yet there was some sort of greatness to him. Why am I saying this here? My uncle, Hirschel Zaks, was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. He had a humorous streak to him, and he would tell over stories, And one of the funny stories he said with the Chofetz Chaim, he said a lady came into the Chofetz Chaim and she was crying about something. She asked for a bracha. He was a little boy and he heard the Chofetz Chaim tell her, "No, the Rebbeinu shows up." So she said, "Genug shem the Rebbeinu shalom, it's built for dinner bracha," which means, "Enough with the Rebbeinu shalom, tell me a bracha yourself, I want a bracha." I was thinking in that vein, that indeed, that there's a mile, of course, of the Kedusha and Tahara, but sometimes there's a mile of a mensch itself. What does this have to do with that Hashavua? There are certain elemental factors besides the fact that Torah not learned the word of Tziva Hashem. Obviously, Chayit. I get an Amoritz. I was telling one of my younger kids, I said, how could you not do Chumash Rashi? How could you not do Shraya Mikva? You're going to be an Amoritz. You're going to be Amoritz. You're just a Chayit. The Cheft of a Moshe. There's a Metzias. But I get that there has to be a Bucky and understand Shas. That the person should know a Gemara, a Rashi, and then even a Tosfos. Rabbaran, they say, somebody was telling Rabbaran, he said, "There's a Bavorf and a Tosfos over here." He said, "Veritas is, you know, thrown out, like outcast Tosfos." He says, "Who made it outcast? Veritas Bavorf." We made, the Shas, the Chiyuv to learn Shas, is inherent, is the nature of the Metzias of a Yid. Vada, the Kedusha, the Avdi Vemoisha. There's something there that's special. It's like that. The truth is that Parsha Shlach learns, it starts up, the Parsha Shlach begins that Rashi says that why is Parsha Shlach next to the story of Miriam? Because Miriam was Lokha B'Tzaras, who was showing you how Lolo Rohu. These people, they saw and they didn't take Musa. He's the seed. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the taina on the miraculum, that they saw and they didn't take Musa. What does that mean? Chofetz Chaim writes that there's 31 lavin and essence for Lashon Hara. These people stood at Har Sinai. They heard their Rebbeinu Shlom Rabbi Yochanan talking and telling us, "Anoich you will see my Shrabbeinu coming down." So, they saw an incident that happened in the world and they didn't take Musa. That's the time on them. And the truth is, that could be that the Torah and Rashi is telling us that is indeed a greater time. That if a person is oblivious to the situation in the world and he puts his head in the sand, maybe I put a lav and I say, you can forget. But to walk and to live your life in a fog and not to take those lessons, that's Rishoyim Alom. The Gemara in Kedushin talks about Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavla, that in the world, the only protection that we have, really, and the only fight against Zaydim Helitsuni Adnoi Niterosho, Gloino Tisi. The only fight of Zaydim Helitsuni Adnoi is Niterosho Gloino Tisi. That the side of learning Torah Ba'amelus, learning Torah and thinking and not having a breeze through, not Chas V'Shalom to diminish the miles of Bafyoimi. But to learn Bahasmada, that's Lule Seroso Shashuai. Shashuai is the type that you play with it, that it becomes part of your life. The Havdu, like a kid who runs back to the computer game or to the iPad, you know, he's in the middle of something. He has to finish it off. He doesn't want to be taken home for supper. And they don't want to be taken away. That's Shashuai. So, how are we mechazik ourselves? This week's parasha, the emphasis is starting Yom HaKippur. So, in a week or two, you're going to get up to the Gemara Daf Ayin Hey. It talks about yesterday's parasha. It says, talks all about the eating of the mon. And the Yidden were not happy with the mon. So, Charnu es hadog asher nechalnu mitzrayim chinam. We remember the dog, the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim, chinam, for nothing. What kind of fish are we talking about? So they ate the fish in Mitzrayim for nothing. Where did they? The Ramban asks this. Is it possible that these people were avodim and they were avodim and they got free fish? Who gave them free fish? And I was thinking maybe if you look at the parasha about fish, Parshas Shmoyis of Bo'era, where it talks about Makas Dam. So it says, "Vahadoga Asher Vayor Meisu." They all died. Atibash Ayor, and the Or stunk, so that it was filled with blood by Makas Dam. The fish died, and they piled up in heaps, and they had fish. The Mitzrayim couldn't eat it; they gave it to the Yidden. That's the exciting fish. Imagine a person gets married, and his wife makes a meal. She says, open, takes this piece of steak, and if you want ice cream, there's ice cream, whatever you want, that's the one. And then they say, the husband says, oh, I remember the slabs of meat we used to have in yeshiva. The greatest insult. What's the plan? Zot gemor chinam, what does it mean for free? So, Zokter, chinam min ha-mitzvah, the Gemara says. He said, it has been afkeira, but the Gemara says, chinam min ha-mitzvah. It was free, there was no mitzvahs. The kasha that I had is, what does it mean, chinam min ha-mitzvah? Rashi brings down, what does it mean, chinam min ha-mitzvah? If the time was that they didn't have mitzvahs, what does it have to do with the fish? Or the man? Just say, Zochayimu es hazman, shayu chino, shayinu chino min ha-mitzvahs, v'chobshi min ha-mitzvahs. What does it have to do with the achilas hamon? I want to share a story with you. That, I think I heard it from Dr. Tversky. Spoke about two yingalach in the cheder. One was Yankala, one was Berala, and the Rebbe that day, he asked them to review the Aleph base. So he walks over to Yankala and he points to an Aleph in the Siddur and he says, Yankala, was is das? And Yankala shrugs his shoulder and he says, Echleistisch? I don't know. And he looks at him, don't know. Patch! Those are the old days. And he goes and he points to a base and he says, was is das? He says, Basisht. Noch a patch. You get it. Barrel. Boss is us. Barrel is proud. And he says, it's Aleph. He says, good. He's not good knib. And then he says, boss is us. He says, Bays. He gives another knib. Ach, of Aleph. And he goes, a gibel, a noch a knib. And he goes through the 22 letters of the Aleph Bays. And then he goes to the end of Aleph, and the Mem, and the Mem, and Tzadik. And a knip and a knip, ah, well, she is all red, the Rebbe's excited. At the end of class, Beryl asks Yankel, yeah, you know what Aleph Beis is, why didn't you tell the Rebbe? He says, nah, right now. He says, he's a foolish kid. He said, I got two patches, I'm finished with the whole deal. You have 22 plus knips, what did I need it for? I need it, they said, I don't know. Shmaisa talks about the mud. Called the Lechem Avivim. Mother says, Lechem Shamalach Asher. But the Shmaisa says more, that the reason that it was that Kal Yisrael had a certain level of responsibility, in fact, the fact that their neighbors was forced upon them, was once they ate mud, Hakalei Makrihidus, once they ate mud, they became a new persona. They became a persona that is responsible, just like Malachim, on a level that is so much higher. And they took on that responsibility by eating man because it elevated them to to a level in which they weren't able to shirk the responsibilities. So they said, I remember the fish we ate free, because whatever we ate, no matter how lousy it was, but it didn't come with a responsibility. So they said, we remember that, eating for free. But today there was no such thing as a free lunch. One came with a responsibility. But the Rebbeinu Shalom loves people who take on a responsibility. I'm coming from Sheva Brachos Nachum. And it says that a melech and a nasi and a chosam, a boich l'loim kol aboy noisom. Chaim Shulevitz explained why. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom loves those who take on the achrayus. The first time Yehuda spoke to Yosef as Paro, or the viceroy of Paro, he was timid. But after he said, Anoichi Erevenu, he took on the responsibility for Binyamin, that he was ready to fight a Muhammad. People who go ahead and they accept upon themselves programs, like Adah HaShavua, they take an achrayus on themselves. And the Rebbeinu Shalom loves people who take achrayus on themselves. Because the achrayus says, I can't be mevatel my zman. The achrayus says, I made up a program where I'm going to chazer, and a lot of the banalities of life become totally non-important because I have to go chazer that day. The Rebbeinu Shalom loves those people who become and they eat mon because they elevate themselves to a level in which they say, I have to do this now. Where did that begin? That began at the moment that Moshe Rabbeinu became the Eved Hashem. Where did that happen? When was the first revelation of Moshe Rabbeinu? Rebbeinu Shalom to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was in Parshas Shmos. And he's Vayin HaGatzoin Achor HaBid. The Moshe Rabbeinu takes the sheep. The other sheep runs away. He chases it. The Rebbeinu Shalom sees that he has such compassion. And he says, he has the compassion for the sheep, he's going to have the compassion for Klal Yisrael. So he makes a miracle. A bush begins burning in the desert, and it's not consumed. So the pasuk tells us that he's surprised. Moshe Rabbeinu talks to himself, and he says, Bayar Moshe, he saw this Mara Agodol, and he says, he wonders, Badua Layibar Asnea. Why is it not burning? Bayerman Moshe. Asura Nova Erev. I'm going to go down, I'm going to look and see why this bush is not burning. So, the Rebbeinu Shalom said, Bayar Hashem Kisor Lirois. Hashem saw that he decided to go ahead and look at the snare. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself b'toich HaSneh. It's a pella. First of all, why does the Torah have to say that Moshe Vayomer Moshe Asura No Ve'ere? Like, well, if he went, obviously he said that. I mean, I don't know exactly, I'm not a neurologist, but I think there's a message to the brain that says, I'm going to do this, and then you do it. So if Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, he also said, I'm going to answer Dotsum and Navira. I'm going to answer Fira. He says, Bayerim Moshe Asur and Avera, I'm going to go look. What does it mean? And I think that the Medrash picked up on that. Because the Medrash is Medayik, and it says, in Medrash Tanchuma, Bayerim Moshe Asur and Avera, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Sholish Psiyos Pasa Moshe. Three steps he took. That's all. Three steps. Shimon ben Lakish says, no. My posa el tzavora okam. He turned his neck to see. I know in Kelim, they used to walk straight. You wouldn't notice something on the side. I don't know, maybe that's a makor. The Gemara is machadet, the permission machadet. He turned, and they didn't step out of his way. He just turned to see. It's a motazach. But what's more strange is the next line in the Medrash. Omli HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nitzta'arta Lirois, you had pain to see, Chayecho, Sha'ato kedai she'egole alecha. You're worthy that I'm going to reveal myself upon you. V'yad, ayikrei lo asher geras. The Baal Shalom, he saw something fascinating. He saw a magic trick. He saw a fire. Everybody runs to a fire. You see something burning. You're interested. He turned his neck. Gavald, what's the godless of Asher Abeinu? That he turned his neck to see. And the fact that he speaks to himself obviously shows that it was a debate in his mind. Should I look? Should I not look? Okay, I'm going to look. It's over. Shlomo said, don't worry, he didn't really just turn his neck. And then they were, oh, wow, you looked. What was there? And Terence says, I didn't see it, but I think this is the pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu realized that there's something special going on. And he said that if I'm going to look at this site, I'm going to be a changed person. And I don't know what it's going to lead me to. It's going to change my life, and it's going to go ahead and transform me and put obligations upon me, obligations that I don't have right now. Right now, I'm a shepherd. I have to go ahead and immerse myself in this world of ruchnius, that who knows where it's going to take me. The person that started Hatzolah, and he saw somebody who had a Nebuchadnezzar heart attack, I think it was in Williamsburg, it was Jacob's, and he decided to have equipment put in his car, and then tell people about it, and then another ambulance, and fundraising, and running in the middle of the Ichbatas. What do I need it for? All the organizations. Well, the person who says to now, and he says to himself, I'm going to start, I'm going to join, if there's somebody in this room who didn't. So he could say, what do I need it for? What do I have to walk into this breakfast for? Who knows what they're going to turn, what are they going to turn me into? So if you're a Baal Shalom, the fact that you went and you looked and you joined and you started the daf, or that you went ahead and you said that till now I was just learning Gemara Rashi, and now I'm going to learn Gemara Rashi and Tosfos. Never forget my Zayda's words at the last Sima Shasa, two or three times, you know, the one before he was Nifta. He said he did that Hayomi Gemara Rashi, next time I'm going to finish the Tosfos. It was a Kabbalah. Rabbi Yishmael says, Chayecha, you turned and you said, I'm going to get involved? Boy, you're a great person. You don't want Hadogah Asher Echalchino. You don't want that. You want to take that responsibility upon yourself. I love such people. Those are the people that are going to lead Klal Yisrael. Chayecha, Kedai, that I'm going to be Megala myself. I'm going to reveal myself to you. So that's the milo of joining, of commitment, the importance. But more so, the milo of the Daf HaShavua. And the reason that I have come today to speak is really because of one thing. Now, I'll end with a story with Rav Shulam Igra. Rav Shulam Igra was a goyin olam. The Rebbe of Tzoyz, his ability to think at the things was uncanny. The story is told that there were two of the Baal Batim of a small shtetl who happened to have been in the town of Shulam Igra, where he was the Rav. And they got into a business fight in that particular town, and they said, you know what, instead of going back to ask our Rav, we're here, let's see if we can get into the Gadol HaDor, and we'll ask him. It was a complex shiloh. And Rav Shulam Igra said he has to think about it, and it's going to take him a day to think about it, and they should come back the next day. It seems that they were in a rush, and they figured they would have an answer. They didn't realize how difficult this question was, so they went home. They didn't go back to Rav Shulam Igra, and they said, let's ask our Rav. Seems that these two Baal Batim were very, very influential in town, and the Rav no idea how to pass. But they were very influential, and they said, Rebbe, you know, it's a difficult childhood, the Shlom Igor, but, you know, we expect that you should have the answer. The Rebbe worked, he said, listen, the Shlom Igor asked you for a day, you have to give me 2 or 3 days. So, bottom line, after 2 or 3 days, the Rebbe said, I have a tshuva, I wrote it out, here is the tshuva, and they read it, accepted it, and they decided they're going to give it to Rav Shulam Igra when they come back the next time. And they gave it to Rav Shulam Igra. And Rav Shulam Igra looked at it. He said, this is unbelievable. Who is your Rav? I'm going to Ireland. I have to go see him. And Rav Shulam Igra went, took a carriage, traveled to their town, and knocked on the door of the Rav. The Rav opened up. Go to Lador at his door, and he says, Rebbe, what is the Kubin? What are you? And Rebbe Shulbigra says, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Umari, to him. He says, what are you talking about? He says, he asked me a shayla from your shtetl, and I was thinking about the tshuva, and working on it, I came up with something, I read your tshuva, it's unbelievable. How did you come to it? I said, the Rav turned red. And he said, Rebbe, you have to admit, it's not the case. They gave me 3 days, and I didn't know what to do with my parnassah. So I fasted. And I didn't know, I was davening and saying to Hillel and davening. And I leaned one day, I was like banging against the shelf, and a sefer fell out. And that sefer was from the later Rishonim, and it opened up to the page. And Mamrish, that shiloh was there. And I wrote over the tshuva. I looked at them. He gave me a shayla. It was the same shayla he brought down. And I wrote over the tshuva. So the shula and Igra looked at me. I would say, wow, what a story. Shula Igra said, davenin? Yedereinu ken davenin. Anybody can daven. Horvin. You got a schmitz in learning. He turned around, went back to his carriage, and went home. When it comes to learning, I sometimes say to myself, davenin! Yedereinu ken davenin. To daven up a plat gemara, anybody can daven up a plat gemara. Of a harv is daven harv, but the shmitz, to go slow, and to know that you're doing it once on Monday, and once on Tuesday, and once on Wednesday, again on Thursday, again over Shabbos, that's harv. The bracha of davar shavua and the innovation is so important because it's a lost art in following Yisrael. So Louis Barton Holly, so I just for the chasen, my kids thought it was crazy, but I decided I'm going to write like 5 stiklach Torah and I'm going to print it up. And I said, why? Because, you know, you're busy, achievers, and stuff. I really didn't get a chance to start Haravim on Mechikas Hashem, or on the Zohar B'duch, and on the Parish, and said, there's nothing like the ability to really work on a kasha for an hour or for a half hour, and then come up with a teretz, and then see it's a toysus, and then it's 4 toysus, didn't go that way. That's our life. And unfortunately, in the hubbub and the rush, that has been lost. And when they came out with Dabayoymi, that the Sat, the Munkach, and whatever was, they were against the Dabayoymi. Chaim Moshe also was not partial that they came out because they felt that Bachar Vyidnu would horrible, used to horrible, that art would be lost. They said, the Munkach once said, Daf Yomi, better learn a plat gemara in their side. Better to learn a plat gemara. He didn't know what it was exactly. So, but you take a week to learn a plat gemara. So, I just want to end with the Chofetz Chaim used to say over. Chofetz Chaim used to say over a story. They say Legay to Parsha Shlach, because they say that we looked in their eyes like Chagovim. That's how we felt. Because they looked at us like Chagom. Transformed us. Chofetz Chaim used to tell over a marshal about a person, an old schlepper, a yidl. He had no money, but he had a rich uncle in Varsha. And his rich uncle was making a chasana. He sent him 2 first-class tickets to the wedding. The fellow never was at a train station in his life, and he didn't know what first class, second class, or baggage compartment was. So he went to the train station, and he went there, and he had these tickets, and he says, I don't know, it must be me, the schlepper. Must be that I have the schlepper part. But he looks, and there are fancy ladies and men going with their baggage into the first class. He says, no, that's not for me. Second class, the Pashat the Balabatim also. Then he sees guys like himself jumping on to the baggage compartment and hiding under the bags. He says, that's probably where I'm supposed to go to. He holds on to the tickets very with his dear life. Doesn't see what first class, second class, they're beautiful, but he doesn't understand. And the conductor comes around and he's kicking out the bed, the suitcases, and he's saying, where are you? And he tells one uncle, get off the train, you get off the next stop, and throws off all the train. And then he looks at down toward the poor Yangula and he says, you have tickets? He says, yeah, I have some tickets. He shows him the tickets. He says, I don't understand you. You have first class tickets. What are you going like a schlepper? You have first class tickets. You should be traveling first class. Don't you know your place? The Lomde Daf HaShavua have first class tickets. You have first class tickets. You should be touting it with pride. You should be announcing when you make a Shiva on Masechta, it's like a Yeshiva Gedola. And create an atmosphere, a ruach. The Meraglim says in the Alta Shemini that it only started with the 12 people who told their families, and the families told the other families, and they told, and then all of a sudden a whole cry went up, but it started in one tent. Greatness spreads faster. In this room, the Lomde Daf HaShavua upstairs, in Woodmere, I think they started it because of here. This is a movement that can spread throughout the land. Why? Because you're holding first class tickets. And everybody wants to go first class. Guy told me that, he said he wants to go first class. He said the greatest mile of that he felt was when he saw everybody walking by to the back. A boy said, you're sitting in first class. And you have a lot of people learning different things, but this is the first class. This is a first class ticket. And the Baruch Shem is exactly who got the Mizrach first to finish Pesach this Yuma, Amir Tashem, and to go on. Sparim, Mesech, Sacherim, Amir Tashem, you'll invite me back to join our sisters in the back and make the Siyim. Amir Tashem, Mesech, Yuma, and Amir Tashem, the life of Tzatzah, the Kidgan Shas, you'll do a little on the side. You know, what did the guy say? The Rebbe said, the Muhammad said, if I was Rothschild, I would be richer than Rothschild. This is why. Since I would do a little tutoring on the side. So you learn a little about getting me on the side. You'll finish after the chassis. You'll finish after the chassis a little bit for kids.